Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. It is crappy outside. We think it's going to be improved for Sunday. Do we not, East Coast?
Oh, yeah. The forecast is for sunshine and warmer temps.
Thank goodness. Isn't it supposed to be like 60 this weekend around here?
I think maybe by Monday we might be in the 60s.
Oh, man. I mean, because it's brutal outside. You know,
winter arrived yesterday.
We had 3 inches of snow yesterday with the wind going 40 miles an hour. I mean, we've had ungodly weather the first... You know, last
we had
couple
ourselves
of weeks.
A good old-fashioned nor'easter.
Yeah, and this was
last night and into this morning.
The nor'easter combined with the hurricane 2 weeks ago, or a little over a week ago, and now it's just an old nor'easter, and it brought down rain, sleet, snow. Wind was gusting. I mean, it was just nasty, and it's still kind of nasty out there right now. So
it's the kind of wind where you have to walk at a 45-degree angle going forward.
Oh, it was awful getting to the parking lot yesterday after we left the studio here because it was the snow was coming down sideways.
Takes me usually 30, 35 minutes normal to get home.
Ugh.
It took me an hour and about 15, hour and 10 minutes.
Exactly. That's what it took me yesterday.
Only because you had to go slow because there was no plowing. Right. There was no, you know, the roads were slick.
No.
And you had to be careful. Plows you had to go 20 to 30 miles an hour.
Plows probably won't be out for another month. You know, your cities don't want to get into their budgets, you know, this early in the process.
We also didn't think we'd get that much snow either.
No, we didn't. It's melted away because of the drizzle today, but it's just plain nasty out there.
Cold rain.
Yeah, cold rain, big fat drops when it does start raining. But it's supposed to be better for Sunday, so I think that's something to look forward to. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly, here in studio with us. Mark Goggin from the Buffalo News will join us in 20 minutes. Of course, the top of next hour will be Russell Baxter, pro football guru. He'll join us at 3 o'clock Eastern time. And then we'll be joined by Tim Graham, also from the Buffalo News, in the 3 o'clock hour. So we're locked and loaded today here in the playbook. It's Prediction Thursday. But I realize that everybody that sends a note today is going to pick the Patriots to win. Does anybody really think Buffalo is going to win this game?
I can only speak for myself. I don't.
You don't.
No. I don't.
I don't. And again, this is based on trends. It's based on what happened between the two teams on September the 30th. It was 52-28 then. You know, I think even the most optimistic Bill fan would probably say, in New England, it'd be tough. I mean, New England has to lose this more than Buffalo can really win it. Agreed there?
Yeah, and Buffalo, you know, as long as New England's injury list is, Buffalo's is even longer. They're not a healthy group. And a lot of those guys are taking part full participation, so they'll probably play, but they're not a healthy group right now.
But I let me just remind you that I mentioned this at the tail end of yesterday's show, but if Buffalo wins this game, they're 4-5. Patriots dropped to 5-4.
Yep.
It's a one-game lead for the Patriots over the Bills, and the season series is all even at a game apiece. Mm. So the Bills, this is their back-against-the-wall moment this season. This is it. This is the ultimate moment, not the penultimate moment. This is it for Buffalo.
Yeah.
They lose. They're 2 games back of the Patriots. They're 3 back overall, so they're, in effect, 4 out of first place or you know, being able to be there because they will have lost the season series to the Patriots, and it's pretty much over but for the singing and looking forward to the draft next April.
Yeah.
But if they win, they're back in the hunt, right in the AFC East. They're right in the thick of it with the other teams. So, you know, who knows how a team will react when you have your back-against-the-wall moment. And it's probably coming a little earlier than we thought because a lot of us thought that Buffalo was a team that might have some legs this year and certainly challenge for a wild card spot.
Thought for sure that they'd be the second-best team in the AFC East.
I think we all did. I think we all gave them credit. And we talked to John Murphy, their radio play-by-play voice, yesterday, and we'll talk about this with their two beat writers later on today. But yeah, this is a disappointment. You'd have to say this is a disappointment, even by Buffalo standards, mm-hmm. that they had started to think they were turning the corner on things. And if they lose to the Patriots on Sunday, you know, take the dirt nap. It's over.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Didn't this happen to them last year? They started off, like, what, 4-5-0?
I believe 4-0.
And then they, the second half, they signed Fitzpatrick to the long-term deal.
And then they just took a nosedive. Yeah.
Yeah. Same kind of deal this year.
Something I think we'll discuss, I think, with our Buffalo guys coming up in a little bit. What I would ask in lieu of the prediction, and by the way, if you want to predict the game, just if we, you know, so we can see if somebody gets the score right. We haven't had anybody actually accurately predict the score yet this season, this much I'm sure of. And I think Kevin and I had come up with some kind of, hey, if we get somebody right with a correct score this year, we're going to send you a yearbook, you know, which is what we gave out for Game Show Thursday last week. Mm-hmm. But we'll send you a Patriots yearbook if you predict the score correctly. And that's kind of a season-long thing. We'll send you one if you can do that. So by all means, if you want to take a stab at that this week, webradio@patriots.com. That's how you send the email. So fire off. We'll keep these. We'll remember, believe me. And I know if you predict the score right, we'll hear from you next week as well, because you'll want to brag. And rightfully so, because we haven't had anybody do that. I've gotten close. I've missed by 1 point.
Which one was that?
This was...
this year?
Yeah. Or was it 2 points? I can't remember. It was 1 or 2 points. It was the...
Seattle?
Yes.
24-23?
Yes.
Yeah, you were off by like 1 or 2.
That was the one. That's the closest I've gotten. That's the closest I've really seen anybody get, to be honest with you. Mm. So, what was I going to say? Oh, the Ace Ticket Hotline. I've got to remember the routine here. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Phone lines are open and available. You can certainly go to the Facebook page, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, at Facebook.com. Submit the friend request. We'll answer that if you haven't already done so. And then you can post. We can chat. We can do all kinds of goody things there. And then the Twitter page, at JRook0722. So you can send me a tweet, and we'll see it that way. The other thing I wanted to ask you to comment on today, in addition to the prediction, if you'd like a shot at the yearbook, you predict the right score, you'll get a go at that. It has to do with... you know, I'm a little bit distracted, and the reason I'm a little distracted is because I'm reading here now where Antonio Cromartie of the Jets predicted on NFL AM this morning on NFL Network that the Jets will make the playoffs this year.
Oh God!
Did anybody think to ask him how he feels about dads showing up for the birth of their children?
Oh my God!
That's what? How many? 13 of them? sorry. I saw that and I'm just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Really?
He just doesn't.
So should somebody remind him the Jets are 3-5?
Yeah.
Oh. See, what would we do if we didn't have Antonio Cromartie or Rex Ryan to laugh at? Or laugh with? Or both?
He's a moron. Didn't they say that in Texas?
Yeah. What you spec, you moron? Wasn't that a line from Animal House?
I think so, it was.
Yeah. Yes, I think it was. Oh my goodness! All right, I'll think of the question again. Now I'm completely and totally lost my mind here. Practice report for today after Eric sneezes. God bless you.
Sorry.
All right.
Pardon me there.
Practice today.
No changes from yesterday. We had three
guys
missing.
Good sign.
Three guys. The same three guys: Bolden, White, and Scott. And all we saw was stretching, so not really anything there. The only thing of note that I would say is that they do this sideline to sideline jog sprint thing, mm-hmm. in stretching, and the last leg of those, Aaron Hernandez went all out, was leading the pack, and was looking good. I mean, and he's missed some time with his right ankle for a second time this year, so just thought that was noteworthy.
Okay.
That's
excellent.
Really all we got to see.
So we think then that, you know, the week off, at least for the Patriots, has probably done them a bit of good in terms of trying to rest up some of the bruised and the walking wounded.
I would think so. Yeah.
Hernandez is back.
Yep.
Who else were we kind of concerned about? Logan Mankins.
Logan, right. Chung and Gregory, both
Chung
those
Gregory
guys have
back.
Been practicing. Well, I mean, in Gregory's case, he's practiced. Chung had been practicing and wasn't playing. Gregory hadn't done either, but he started practicing again. So.
Shenko?
Been practicing, yep. So he looks pretty good. I would venture to say there might be a move involving him for this week.
Really? So to there activate him in the
There might be, yeah.
Okay. All right. So it'd be an interesting cut list then, I think, or at least an interesting dress list on Sunday.
Yeah. We could have some Saturday or Sunday morning transactions.
Move some movement. So, yeah, you probably should expect some movement, I would think. The question that I have, actually, I don't know why, is the Cromartie thing actually reminded me of it. At least locally, there's been some question, and I know that the morning show guys on EEI have been talking about this over the last couple of days, because this is going to be a factor at some point, and it could be a factor before this season gets too much further along here for the Patriots. And I'm wondering how fans feel about players and their decisions, one way or the other, to leave, you know, their teammates, or in worst case scenario, miss a game for the birth of a child. This could happen with Tom Brady and Giselle. She's 9 months pregnant.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I believe so. This could happen like within, or at least I think she's coming into the 9th month. So this could happen like within the next month.
Ooh.
And so I'm wondering, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, she's, and of course, you know, personal things just aren't shared in the locker room, and we don't really ask that, but based on the information that I've gotten from a couple of different sources, and been listening to some of the conversation on local talk radio here over the last couple of days, fact of the matter is that there may be a decision had to be made by Tom Brady, because it looks like she's going to be due about this time next month. In somewhere in that vicinity. Now, if that is the case, if that is indeed the case, how do Patriots fans feel about Tom missing, say, Houston,
the game,
for the birth of his child?
Well, you have a problem there because you only have one quarterback on the roster.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So, Giselle would have to have the baby here, I would think, if that's the case, so that he would be able to do both, you would think?
You would think, but is that a slam dunk? We don't know. Now, he was asked the question during Patriots Monday this last week by John Dennis and Jerry Callahan, and he danced around it. So for those that might have tuned in here on Patriots.com to listen to Patriots Monday, he was asked the question. And again, he sort of danced around it. He didn't really definitively say, I will be at the birth of my child. He didn't say, I will be with the Patriots. The Zen question that I have, though, is why isn't more thought put into the process of when the baby is going to be due? Let's backtrack from December. 9 months would be March. Is that about right? If my math is correct?
Month 3, 12, yeah.
Okay.
December.
No conjugal visits in March.
Conjugal visits? He's not in prison.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true. Of course, I guess if Giselle says jump, you jump, right? Oh, probably shouldn't go there, but I just did.
Too late.
Well, that's the way.
Pitching a 10 back there.
Well done, Kevin.
Thank you. Hey, well, that's excellent done. Timing. Kevin's actually listening to us for a change. Oh, love it.
Hey, nature called right there.
Oh, okay.
It was close.
Woo! Oh, okay.
Between shows, I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Don't open the door. All right. Very good. So, you know, in all seriousness, I asked the question because the other issue is this weekend with okay, now his name escapes me. The guy from Chicago, defensive back.
Peanut Tillman?
Yes, Tillman. He's the one. His wife is apparently due this weekend, or due any minute now. And there's actually, he's already said, I am going to miss the game if I have to, if my wife goes into labor. And I guess, certainly, the father in me, having two older boys, understands that philosophy. And gets it, and I can't say that I wouldn't make that decision, because, you know, children are forever, as we all know. This is a football game. But let's think about it, okay? Seriously, and I'm being really serious about this decision over the timing issue here. As a pro football player, you are expected to be on the job 16 days out of the year. Now, there are a lot of other things, right, that go into it. There's OTAs, there's practices, there's all this. But, I mean, literally.
Right, the most important days. Yeah, 16 most important days.
16 most important days
of
the year.
At least.
You need to be there, right?
Yeah.
So how can someone in their right mind consciously, or even unconsciously, do that to his team and teammates?
part of, I mean.
Especially if you're a big time player. Especially if you know your team depends on you. Like Tom Brady.
But it's a tough thing because your priorities tell you you have to be with your family. Family's first, not football. It should always be.
Once again, I don't disagree with that.
It should always be.
But at the same time, if Brady decides, let's just say worst case scenario, okay? Giselle says, I'm going home. I'm going over to Europe to have the baby. You know, or for whatever reason, I don't think that'll happen. But let's just, worst case scenario, say she does that. Tom, I want you to be with me. So he's going to fly over there, and he's going to miss the Houston game, and you lose to Houston. What if you lose the tiebreaker? What if you lose a bye? God forbid, what if you lose the division championship? What and who have you affected? Everybody. Is there not a larger story or a bigger picture here? Does it not come into play at some point? Regardless of what his feelings are for being present at the birth of a child? Again, because I put it to someone who is clearly paid a lot of money to do what he does for a living, and you are expected to be there for 16 days out of the year. You got to plan better, bucko. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe it wasn't planned.
Okay. Fine. Then be responsible.
I think he's trying to be.
Okay, but now you're being irresponsible to 52 other guys and coaches.
But you have a priority list.
Well,
I can't fault the man for prioritizing his family above a football team.
If you're being paid $15 to $17 million a year, whatever it is, I'd say your priorities then need to change a little.
I'm just making the argument.
I'm not approving or disapproving here.
No, I know.
I'm making the argument for the sake of argument.
I know. I'm trying to respond to it. It's hard, isn't it? It's also tough because it's not like he's an offensive lineman or a defensive back or a linebacker where there are numerous other players at that position who can fill in. He's at a position where there are at most like three quarterbacks on the roster. And in this case, two, including him. So he's really putting his team, his employer, in a precarious position. So it's really tough.
That's why I'm asking the question, because the more I got to thinking about it after I heard it on Patriots Monday this week, I had to say, you know what? I'm flip-flopping on this. I'm going back and forth.
You know what?
My first reaction was family first, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Has to be. Mm-hmm. Without question, there's no second thought. And then the more I thought about it, and I saw Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk also kind of went this direction as well earlier this week when the issue came up with Tillman of the Chicago Bears. And, of course, we applied Tom Brady to it because it's going to happen in the next month to 6 weeks. It's going to happen. Mm. So because of that, he basically said, you know, he brought up the argument over the 16 Sundays and all of the, you know, if you're paid a lot of money and, you know, the financial ramifications. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the line here.
Oh, yeah.
And you are being paid an exorbitant salary and you are expected to shoulder that burden for being paid that salary.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to come, if you're not going to be able to show up and work like you're being paid to work, what should happen? What's the right thing to do here? He brought up some very interesting questions. And that's all I'm asking here. I want to find out how our fans feel about this issue with Tom Brady in particular, because we may be crossing this road over the course of the next month to 6 weeks.
I need to go to the locker room. I can try to ask him for you if you want.
Would you?
See if I can get him.
See if you can get him
off to the side.
If
you're not on the air right now, you can tell me.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Okay.
You're going to have her induced during the week or what?
What's the plan?
Yeah.
If you get an answer, you'll come back, right?
Oh, yeah. If I get an answer, I don't think I'll
you
get
won't
one,
get an answer.
No. I'll try.
All right.
I'll see if he's in there.
All right. Way to go, baby.
Yeah, sorry, but I have to jump ship.
No, I get it.
I
understand. This is why we staggered the show this way. We planned for this because we knew that, you know, you have work to do.
Yeah.
You have to go represent in the locker room.
But I'm expected to be here
for
at least two
16,
shows a
week. That's why we pay you the big money.
All right, I'll see you Sunday.
Yes, sir, you will. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. He's on to the locker room. We'll see if we can get him to get Tom to answer that question definitively one way or the other. And if he gets the answer, you'll hear it here first. There's no question about that. All right, so that's why I'm asking you the question today. Okay, want to ask you the question, you know, put yourself in Tom's shoes. That's all I want you to do. I want you to put yourself in his shoes. I know a lot of you would like to do that already anyway, for more reasons than one. Let's see, the money, good-looking wife, you know, all that stuff. Some of you may not want to deal with that because, obviously, Tom's life is really not his own any longer. I think you probably realize that. But faced with a decision, really a monumental decision, because this is a day, if you're not present for the birth of your child, you're never getting back. I don't know, really, what I would do. All I know is that I would try to take great pains to being careful with the planning aspect of it and try, as best as I can, to have a child in the off-season. That's all I'm saying. And I think that's the prudent thing to do, and that may be the only true definitive answer here. But in this case, it didn't happen for Tillman or for Brady. They're going to have their kids in the season. So what do you think, fans? What do you think? Webradio at Patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook at JRook0722 on Twitter. Mark Goggin from the Buffalo News is coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me. Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio.
Back inside the playbook for a Thursday, Prediction Thursday. Your thoughts again on the Pats and the Bills coming up 1 o'clock kickoff here at Gillette Stadium on Sunday. Web radio at Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at JRook0722. The tweeter, or the Twitter, whichever you prefer. Question in addition to your predictions, and again, you knock that prediction stiff to the point, Kevin's going to send you one of the yearbooks. Yes, he's still shaking his head. Yes, we're going to do that. And also, the question that it has to do with whether or not you agree or disagree with players' choices to leave their team, leave everything that they have on the field to go for the birth of a child. Interesting issue, not only happening in Chicago this weekend, but apparently it looks like it will happen before this season is over with your very own New England Patriots. All right, let's get down to the issue of the Buffalo Bills. Mark Goggin, who covers the Bills for the Buffalo News, joins us here in the playbook. Mark, what are your thoughts on that? And I don't know if that question has ever been asked of any of the Buffalo players, and I'm not sure, or at least I'm not privy to the information of who has had to take a leave of absence for the birth of a child. But generally speaking, what do you think Buffalo players might say or do about this? Would they miss a game in order to be present for the birth of a child?
I think they probably would. In general, my opinion that most athletes would say they'd miss the game.
Right.
I think my personal opinion is there's a threshold there. If you only play 60, if in the NFL, baseball, hockey, basketball, that's a different story. They play 80 games.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL, if you're making, if you're a key member of the team and you're making, a huge salary.
Mark, I'm seeing now. That's why I asked the question, because it was an issue on local radio here with Tom and Brady and his wife Giselle. It's going to happen in the next month or so. And Tom was asked about it on Monday, and he really didn't definitively say one way or the other. And so the conversation is built. As you know, Tillman from Chicago already said he's going to miss his team's game this Sunday if he has to. And I don't think anybody can fault a player for wanting to be there for the birth of a child. It seems family is the right thing to do. However, I kind of feel like you and Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk has brought up this issue this week, and that's why I kind of asked our fans today about it, because it's going to affect us at some point in time. It could really affect anybody. When you have 16 days out of the year you are expected to be there front and center for work, and if you decide not to be there, it's 52 other guys plus coaches plus fans plus a lot of other people you're letting down. God forbid you lose a game that could cost you something in a playoff chase.
I agree. I think there's a blind, too. Obviously, there was the lineman. Was it David Stewart?
Yes.
One thing when you got a lineman. It's a different thing if it's, Rob Gronkowski or Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So if you're making, $3 million a game or I don't think you can miss the game, and I'm not even beginning to suggest that football is more important than family. It isn't, but
of course,
it's a different present. It's not being a radio show host or a plumber. It's different.
I think plumbers make out better than radio show hosts do anyway. I think I've chosen the wrong profession. All right, Mark, so let's get to your Bills here. What, in your estimation, has changed for the better about this team since the last time these two teams met at the end of September? Is there anything?
Uh, not. I can't really point to anything. I mean, their defense, if you really want to look for something, played a somewhat respectable game against a very good Houston team on the road last week. So, you know, if that wasn't a one-game aberration, that could be the start of they hope that's the start of a positive trend.
Well, the defense, I thought, did play pretty well. I talked to John Murphy about this a little yesterday and told him I watched the game, and I was impressed with the activity on the front four. Mario Williams certainly seemed somewhat sufficiently motivated to get back into it against his former team. Although, you know, in reading through some of the notes on your team earlier today, he's been playing with a wrist injury. I assume, do you any idea whether or not that's kept him from being as effective as you would like him to have been, or the team would have liked him to have been?
That's a good question. He hasn't missed any practice time. He did have a minor surgical procedure on it the Monday before the Houston game, but or the third 10 days before the Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer that. I mean, Yes, it's probably had some effect on him. He hasn't missed any games, so you know, we'll see.
What has help? Maybe you can help me out here. Mark Anderson at practice today? Not at practice today. And what's his particular ailment? Do you know?
He has a knee injury.
Right.
He's out.
Okay. So he obviously won't be a part of the game then on Sunday.
No, he's out. So
okay.
Aaron Williams, their other starting cornerback.
Right. Okay.
Well.
Yeah, and I happened to see him go down this last week as well. So injuries obviously are a huge part of the problem. The secondary has been particularly damaged here. Are we setting ourselves up then potentially for an offensive shootout only because we're trying to figure out who's going to get stops and when they're going to get them?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you got the number one offense in the league against the number 31 defense. So, you tell me.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots will roll up a lot of yards this Sunday. I think you can take that to the bank. And it's just a question of will they go over 30 points or not? And, if I had to bet, I'd say yes.
I know that Leotis McKelvin is getting an opportunity, or at least another opportunity for playing time, largely due, I'm assuming, here to Aaron Williams' absence this week. How and why has he not developed into the kind of player the Bills thought he was going to be? Any thoughts on that?
I would say two things. One, he just has never reacted well to the ball in the air. Particularly on deeper routes.
Mm-hmm.
He has the physical speed and quickness and coming in and out of his breaks and all that, but just hasn't reacted well to the ball in the air. And number two, he's somewhat frail. He's not a physical guy. So he doesn't get real good jams at the line.
Yeah,
but
I think that
his physical tools say he should have had a better 5-year run than he's had.
Sure. That has been the chief complaint, I think, with most of the Patriots' defensive backs as well, along those same lines as McKelvin. We'll flip it to the other side now on offense. And I know that the team only managed 3 field goals last week against the Houston Texans. So was it more Houston or was it more Buffalo in not getting into the end zone last week?
Well, Houston, let's not, you know, I mean, Houston has an elite defense. There is no question about it. So, Bills played a good team. They did move the ball some, but they stalled in the red zone. And Houston was able to take C.J. Spiller out of the game. Now, whether every team can execute that kind of strategy is debatable.
Sure.
And the Bills, you know, came under criticism for abandoning the run and not giving the ball to C.J. He had 6 carries, I think 11 touches. So they need to get him more involved no matter what the defense does.
Yeah, I was. That was my next question, because I watched C.J. Spiller, and clearly the guy has got it, whatever he needs to do to get around the corner, turn the corner. He's got to find a way to get the ball in his hands. I know that's why he's been a part of kick returns in the past when, you know, they shared time with Fred Jackson back there. So what has the discussion been this week in terms of trying to get C.J. The ball more? Throw to him out of the backfield, just simply see that he gets 22, 23 touches a game from the running back? Has there been any discussion along those lines?
There's been a ton of discussion. You know, they need to not let what the defense does take them out of their plan. I mean, Houston played regular defense and basically dared the Bills to throw the ball. So the Bills took them up on it and didn't get it done.
Right. When you do have to throw the ball, I noticed that I guess Stevie Johnson, he's returned, correct?
He was limited in practice yesterday, and I'm pretty sure he looked limited. He was practicing today, so he's going to play, but whether he's full go is debatable.
Okay, and
he'll definitely play. He's going to play. He dragged himself out there, but how effective he is, we'll see.
And we saw. At the end of September, we saw some success, I think, at least early in the game, if I'm not mistaken, from Scott Chandler at tight end. And is he becoming more of a target for Ryan Fitzpatrick, or has it been a hit or miss proposition?
No, he's a decent tight end. So yes, Fitzpatrick throws, and he's not bad. He's, you know, pretty decent.
The final one,
non-Gronkowski, non-Hernandez, non-Gronkowski category of tight ends. He's fine.
Right. Final one for you here, Mark. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and so I kind of wonder if this question has been posed to anybody in Buffalo. But, you know, with the team 3-6, having lost to New England already at the end of September, a win here, though, evens the series with the Patriots, and a win pulls them back within a game of the Patriots in the AFC East. And at least ostensibly, with the injury problems notwithstanding here, right back in the thick of things in the East Division. A loss, 3-6, you're three games back, you've lost twice to the Patriots. It might be time to start thinking about other things. Is this a sort of a back-against-the-wall occurrence for the Buffalo Bills this weekend?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, what, the Patriots have won, 68 of the last 70 against the Bills, and come on, you know, I mean, let's get real. Bills have Miami at home on Thursday, and they need to, be able to get it together for that game.
No question. All right, Mark. Thanks for the time this afternoon. Sure appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Mark Gagan, who is one of the beat writers for the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo News. I think he kind of towed the company line there a little bit, you know? I honestly think that there's got to be something to the thought that if this team loses, yeah, sure, they got to come back and play Miami again in 3 or 4 days. Big deal. You're 3-6. You're three games behind the Patriots, and you've lost both games to New England. You're toast.
You're toast in the division, but I think that in the AFC, there's a possibility of making the playoffs at 9-7 this year.
Well, but then that still means then that they got to win six of their last seven.
Yeah. But I think what we were talking about here on PFW in Progress earlier in the week was their schedule after this game. This is sort of the end of a real gauntlet that the Bills have had, like five or six quality teams in a row, and they haven't done well. But their schedule after this game is considerably softer.
Mm.
But, I mean, they're in an awful spot if they lose this game. I agree with you 100%. But I even saw it, John, on they had a segment on SportsCenter earlier this week. It was the NFL or the Monday Night Countdown guys and Chris Berman leading the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing, you know, which one of the three win teams like has a shot to make a run or whatever. And they were actually brought up just because of how soft their schedule is and how front loaded, much like the Patriots, their schedule was really front loaded with away games. So they have all these home games in the second half of the schedule. I think, like the Patriots do, 5 out of 8 at home.
Right.
In Buffalo, once you get late in the season, we all know it's a tough place to play, especially
right.
if you're not New England and you're not used to playing in the cold and the wind up there, Ralph Wilson. So it's very Buffalo-friendly the second half, but the question becomes now, how far behind the eight ball can you be to even have a shot at making that run? So I see where you're coming from, but I can also see pundits outside of the New England area who are mentioning them as kind of a team that has a chance to string 3, 4, 5 wins together once they get past the Patriots.
Right. Interesting.
I think that's all that he was probably saying.
I find it a little bit interesting. Sometimes some people are so close to the forest they can't see the trees, right? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's only an attitude and that's only a perspective that someone in Buffalo can really take. But, I mean, because we wouldn't think any differently here, to be honest with you, if we were in that situation.
No, we wouldn't. But just to give you just a little taste. So the game, the gauntlet that we were talking about, started with the Patriots back on September 30th.
Okay.
And then from there, they had to go to San Francisco, mm-hmm. which is a very good football team. Then they won, actually, in overtime against Arizona, in Arizona, which at the time was a very good win. Mm-hmm. Arizona was probably, like, undefeated or had one loss at that point. They played Tennessee, who's been, average team. Then they had at Houston. Then they have at New England. And that sort of ends that five-game stretch that we were talking about. After they leave here this Sunday, they have the Dolphins at home. They have Indianapolis. They have Jacksonville. They have the Rams. They have Seattle, Miami, and New York. So it's considerably...
There's an opportunity there.
And let's see. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's 7 games left after the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 of those 7 are at home.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievably bottom-heavy schedule.
So the only
five out of 7 are at home?
Yeah, the only road trips they make after leaving New England here are at Indianapolis, on November 25th, so right after Thanksgiving. And then they go to Miami in December, which is a nice place to be in December.
No question.
So,
especially if you're from Buffalo.
So you look at it here and you think, Miami... They've made strides this year, but they're still, I think we can all agree, like right around a 500 pretty mediocre. I mean, they're not a terrible football team,
mm-hmm.
but I still think they're a mediocre football team, much like probably Buffalo can be considered. Then Indianapolis, I mean, they've had a nice run here. Their schedule, I was just looking at before we spoke, is very front-loaded with home games as opposed to the way Buffalo and New England were. They go on the road for much of the year, and you're looking at an Indy team that barely beat Tennessee on the road. They got blown out in Chicago. They got blown out in New York by the Jets. So there's a team that really has not really proven that they can win on the road yet.
It just hadn't dawned on me that it was that bottom heavy. Yeah. I knew that they had more home games than road games, but that just for some reason flew past me.
But I would
week.
Make the argument, John, considering that, you know, I would say Seattle is probably maybe could be considered the best team left that they have after us. Seattle or Miami, take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
And those games are at home. So I mean, you've got the you could make the argument.
Here's
they
the
could
thing.
Win
here,
out.
Here's the thing. The bottom line is that if they lose this game, Buffalo loses here
on
Sunday. They're done in the division. But
no
at the
chance.
Same time, even at 9-7, if they win 6 of their last 7 to finish 9-7, Kev, they still have to have help.
Oh, they have to have help.
A ton of help.
No question about it.
But if they win here, man, they're still in the thick of things. Not only for the wild card, but they're in the thick of things, maybe for controlling some of their own destiny within the division. So, to me, I mean, this has still got to be a game that they have to focus on simply because they can still control largely what they do with this year should they win in New England this Sunday.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I agree with you 100%. I just wanted to shed some perspective.
No, that's good. That's good. It's always good for perspective.
And also, when you're looking at the standings as a whole, take the New England's, the Baltimore's, the Houston's out of the equation, even the Denver's, who we know are going to probably win that division, right,
mm-hmm.
John?
Right.
So when you look at the teams that are in front of them in order to get to those two wild card spots, it's the Jets, ugh, Oakland, ugh, Miami, we're still not sure what they are. San Diego, I'm pretty sure we can all say that we don't know what they are yet. They're Jekyll and Hyde if I've ever seen it. And then you've got Indianapolis, who we still don't know if they can win on the road. So you have a lot of teams here in contention for those two wild card spots. I'm pretty sure that you and I can agree that Pittsburgh is rounding into form here. They're most likely, if they don't catch Baltimore, which they still have the chance to do, John, because they play twice.
Right.
So if Pittsburgh doesn't catch Baltimore, I think that you and I can both agree they're going to be in good position to win one of those two spots.
No question.
But that sixth spot is really completely up for grabs because you have a bunch of mediocre teams here and nobody stands out to you. You know, you've got, like I just mentioned, you've got Indy, San Diego, Miami, Oakland, the Jets, and Buffalo.
But isn't first tiebreaker within the division?
Yeah, I believe that is. Yeah, that's the tiebreaker. But I think that's just for the division, though. I think when you're going to the wild card,
then you're looking at head-to-head,
head-to-head, and then it's conference record,
and then common opponents, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. I just wanted, it just kind of lends some credence. Like, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, that's why we like it. That's good stuff. All right, so that's where Buffalo stands. We'll have more on the Bills coming up in a bit in the second hour. Our program today is Tim Graham from the Buffalo News will also join us. And if the name sounds familiar, it's because we've had him here in the playbook before when he wrote for ESPN. He actually did the AFC East blog and covered the AFC East division for ESPN.com. Now he's with Buffalo, so we're going to get his perspective not only on the Bills, but, you know, the AFC East as well, as we stand here at the halfway point of the year. In the meantime, webradio@patriots.com, our question of the day, in addition to predicting the score, it's Prediction Thursday, after all, so fire away. If you get close, doesn't count. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades and nuclear bombs. Okay, you got to nail it. All right, if you nail the score, you get one of our yearbooks. We'll send it off to you. But nail the score. But you got to play to win, right? You hear that about your lottery wherever you go. Same thing here. Got to play to win. So Prediction Thursday, number one. Number two, the question of the day has to do with whether or not you agree or disagree with a player's stance of he wants to be at home or in the hospital with his wife giving birth to a child. It's going to happen this weekend in Chicago. It could very well happen over the course of the next month for the New England Patriots with Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen getting ready to expect their second child. And for Tom, it's his third overall. So what do you think? It sounds like a no-brainer to say family first. But at the same time, consider the money. Consider the responsibility. Consider what is asked of the player when you only have 16 games to play, 16 dates to show up. Should it be incumbent upon the player to do a little bit better, shall we say, Planned Parenthood? I don't know. It's just out there for public consumption. Kat in Chicago. Thanks for hanging on, Kat. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm totally impressed with Kevin today. Oh, my God.
He's rattling.
He's better than the caller.
He is rattling. He's rattling off the numbers, isn't he?
Yeah, you don't even need any of the Buffalo guys to come in. You just got Kevin. That's amazing.
Kevin Collins, the analyst. There you go. I like it. I like it.
I was calling regarding the whole taking, you know, the women's side of the whole Gisele Brady children argument here.
Sure.
You know, I understand what you're saying about planning for that, but I just don't think in real life it's that simple. I mean, who knows? You know, there are a lot of women who try and try for months, years sometimes, and it's just not quite as simple as, well, we can't try during these months, or we can try during these months, or, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? I think there's more that goes into it. So I'm not 100% sold on the idea that they should be in the off season planning ahead that much. But I also think that I don't think Brady's going to miss a game. I would be incredibly surprised if he missed a game. And I think that if she seems like she's getting close, they'll induce early. You know what I mean? Even if she does natural childbirth, there's no reason that on a Wednesday or a Thursday they can't go into the hospital, give her the shot, and get her going early so that she delivers before the game.
Well, I happen to agree with you on all counts, but I asked the question only because, you know, to me anyway, when we're talking about the kind of money we're talking about, and we're talking about the kind of responsibility, and who is actually dependent upon someone, say, like Tom Brady, maybe even for his own well-being, because you know what? Some guys do get paid if the team does well. They, you know, there are such things as incentive clauses in contracts.
Sure.
I'm sure you're aware of. I bring up the issue because there is a larger picture. And I think that, quite honestly, and I happen to think most people would agree. I may be wrong. And if I am wrong, then I'm sure I'll hear from them. But I think when someone shoulders that kind of fiduciary responsibility that, you know, this is not a normal situation, and you have a greater need to answer to than just your own familial needs and, you know, the wants and the wishes of your own immediate family. That's what I'm bringing up here. In other words, you make $17 million a year, by God, there's more expected of you.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't understand why Tillman, I mean, if it looks like his wife, I don't know. I just think at that point, your responsibility as a as a quarterback for the team, I mean, you're the leading guy, you know, or in this case, Tillman is one of the leaders of that defense, I think you have the responsibility to say, well, I really can't miss the game. Can we go into the hospital? Can we induce this? Can we get this going a little faster
right.
so that I can be in both places rather than having to choose? So, I mean, I think that's the responsibility part, that at that point I mean, these days, childbirth and all of that is a scheduling thing. I mean, plenty of people get C-sections that they schedule. So, I don't know. That's just the way it is nowadays.
Yeah, and you make some very good points about the whole, you know, sometimes you can't do anything about the physicality of this thing because some people just, you know, for lack of a better phrase, they can't do it, you know.
Right.
And it takes them a while to be able to, you know, to conceive. So I understand all of that. But there has to be at least a balance between, you know, just blindly going after it, so to speak, and having a responsibility to so many other people in this particular instance for you to be present and accounted for when you are expected to be there and you are paid to be there.
Yep.
That's the only reason. That's why I'm asking the question. I don't think there's a Patriot fan out there, really, deep down, that would care if Tom Brady missed to be a game to be there for the birth of his child, because I think we all initially would react that way. I don't really think there's a question involved here. But,
well, I don't know. I think you might be giving the fans too much credit.
Well,
I know some people who'd be pissed.
Okay. All right. That may very well, you might be right. But I brought up the question only because, hey, what happens if it comes against Houston next week? Say Giselle
right.
goes into labor on a Sunday morning. Or when do we play Houston? We play them in the night? I think that's a night game, right? So what do we play them at night, and she goes into labor like at 5 p.m.? I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's an issue that, you know, it could be a problem because we don't really have another quarterback, with all due respect. So I'm sure that it will be planned out. And I guess I'm bringing up the point here because this is going to be a story, apparently, at some point in time on down the line. And I'm sure it may even be being discussed right now internally in order to be able to plan. If nothing else, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I still think, I don't know, if something tells me that Brady would be at the game, I don't know if that, I don't know. Something tells me even if she was in labor, he would be hard-pressed. I think just think he's too much of a competitor.
Yeah, probably so. I don't disagree with that.
She did know what she was signing up for.
Well, allegedly, right? Allegedly.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the game then this weekend, Kat?
Oh, I'm horrible at picking scores. I mean, I think that we'll win. I think we'll win by at least, like, 18. But I don't know. I can't pick scores. Whenever I do, I end up completely off.
But you think the Patriots are kind of a walk-off here?
Yeah. I think it's going to be close in the first half. I think it'll be within a score in the first half. But then I think in the second half, they'll probably wear down that defense enough that they just walk over them in the second half.
All right. All right.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Good stuff, Kat. Thanks.
Thanks, John. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you. All right. Let's go from Kat in Chicago to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Well, I guess I just heard the news, so I'm just leaving class. What? Is somebody having a baby?
Not for another month or so.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, that's the issue. I don't think he would miss the game, but being a Patriots fan, I would not, you know, be really that upset. I know that, I mean, his family, I'm pretty sure that comes first. So, but knowing him and his, how much he wants to win, I doubt he'll miss it. So I guess that's my outlook there. And, God, I just had to bring up a kind of a weird question, but haven't you noticed every year it seems like that McCourty's rookie season, he was great. Second year, we all know what happened the second year. Kellen Moore even starts to look good as a rookie, and he's not even on the team anymore. And now I'm wondering, like, I wonder, is this just good for a little while, or is this something we can really look forward to in the future? Because I know he's doing good right now, but, you know, for some odd reason, we got hot rookie cornerbacks that come and look good for a little while, but they don't stay consistent. I just hope that he stays there for a while, you know, and can still be a productive corner, especially for this team. And going off the game, I think it'll be 30-17, but it seems for some odd reason that I can the Bills never played. I don't think they play that well. The Jets never play that well, but those teams seem to get it together, and they want to beat New England bad. So I just hope they can, you know, take care of them without too much trouble. But I know that the Bills would, you know, be down there and be pretty hungry, and they'll have a edge on wanting to, you know, to beat them pretty bad. So
right, I don't disagree with that. You know, you bring up some interesting points. You know, I think we ultimately all expect Tom to figure out a way to be able to be present for not only for the birth of his child, but also for a game, should it happen on a game day. I'm sure that this will be planned. I'm sure that, you know, they'll induce or they'll do something, and push comes to shove. My guess is that Giselle would tell Tom, go to the football game anyway. That's just my own personal belief, and I say that without any personal knowledge of really how she might feel. Because I don't know her. So I kind of, you know, you have a husband that's as high profile as he is. You know, she's probably the only supermodel in the world that has a husband that's even anywhere close to her profile, right? So
right.
I'm sure that, you know, while a lot of these, you know, ladies are used to being catered to, she probably does realize that, you know, husband, you know, does have a little bit of responsibility involved. And I think a lot of football playing wives would probably, while they'd like their husband to be present, as all wives would, and all husbands really, I'm sure, basically want to, I don't think too many of them would have a problem if, you know, they said, look, you know, honey, not for nothing, I got to do this. And, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, this is why planning has to come into play. Then you don't have the issue. Then you don't have the problem. There is no problem at all. But when you mess up, in theory, here anyway, if you mess up and this is going to happen during the season, well, then you got to be ready to adjust. And if you mess up, you got to be ready to pay the piper. I mean, you have to do, you know, what you're being paid to do, especially in a game, you know, in professional sports. It's just, the more I thought about it, I clearly thought that, well, you know, this is a no-brainer. And then the more I thought about it, I just said, you know, there's something to this. There has to be something to this. Because, you know, worst-case scenario, you're, you know, supposed to quarterback against, say, the Texans or the 49ers or something in January, and she goes into labor 2 hours before kickoff. You know, it's a legitimate question. You got to plan for this stuff.
Yeah. So what do you think about the cornerback situation?
And then, I think we're going to find out more about it. Obviously Sunday, and whether or not Dennard actually, you know, lines up out there. My guess is because they're going to be relatively healthy at safety with Chung back and Gregory back at practice this week. My guess is that we'll go back to seeing McCourty, on one side. Arrington is also back, at least to a limited extent. And if he's not a scratch, he'll be out there. That's what I think. Now, but if they decide to start McCourty and Dennard, that ought to answer your question, don't you think?
Right, it should. I mean, I just think Arrington, I thought when McCourty's rookie season, I would tell my friends, I think he's terrible, he's not playing well. But at least we have, you know, hope in McCourty. McCourty's great, we just need one more corner. But that was when Lee Bowden was supposed to be coming back. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we go the next year, and then, you know, it flip-flops. McCourty got bad, and I thought some little hope in Arrington. And then he just fell right back off the map. So,
well, I'd like to see.
I think they're picking on him.
In a perfect world, I'd like to see Dennard stay where he is and kind of, you know, learn the ropes, you know, almost a trial by fire situation, because I think he's got some ability and I think we can all kind of see it. I'd like to see McCourty slide over to free safety. And because that may be a more natural position for him, at least in the NFL. And then when Tlaib gets eligible, hopefully he takes it to the corner slot. And now I think you've made your defense that much more difficult to pass against and certainly go over the top. Because my thought is that Buffalo, while they know that they have to get the ball this weekend to C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson if he's in there, but they got to find a way to get C.J. 20 to 25, 26 touches in the game, whether it's to throw to him or to run the ball. The Bills are just plain dumb if they don't try to go over the top as well.
Right. And those defensive players that they've had, along with the rookie that they got, which who he received a lot of praise in the preseason, I haven't seen or heard so much from him. I forgot what his name was, but, you know, those they look terrible the last time I saw them, other than just throughout the other weeks and just throughout the season. That defense did not look good at all. Those defensive ends were probably some of the main reasons. I thought Mark Anderson was great, of course, as a Patriot, but now they're just running all on them. And,
right.
You know, Mario Williams isn't looking too great.
And right, exactly.
That was supposed to be the strong point of that team. And when you allow people to run on you and pass rush is limited, then you still got the same old Bills defense.
No question.
Not looking too good.
Yeah, no question. All right, Melvin, good stuff, man.
See ya.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's get a break in here as we're into hour number two of the program. Coming up, our own pro football guru, Russell Baxter, in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Hour number two, Patriots Playbook. On a Thursday, we've got to take a look at the entire National Football League with a guy that knows the numbers, perhaps his best as anybody does, as well as anybody does in the NFL. ProFootballGuru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, Bleacher Report, the one and only Russell Baxter. Good afternoon, Russell. How's the weather where you are?
Well, starting to melt a little here. We got pounded pretty good with the snowstorm, but no school today. So, I mean, I had to stay home.
Yeah, and, that's terrible, isn't it? When you have to work at home, it's just terrible.
I had a math quiz today that I was really trying to get out of.
So. You mean your child had a math quiz?
No, I'm talking about me. Listen,
oh, okay.
Have an open mind. I mean, you know, you have time, you go back to school. No, I'm just kidding. No, not too bad. And, you know, I just feel bad for a lot of people who, you know, get done with one storm.
Yeah.
Of one extreme and then get hit with another. It's just astounding. And again, for all those people out there having to deal with this, you know, good luck and God bless.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And you know, we lost power here for a while, and you know, after the first storm, and then the snow hits yesterday. And I the New York Post said today, did you see the headline on the front page of the Post today by any chance?
No, but I already know it's good.
Oh, it was really good. It said, God hates us.
Oh.
I'm just like,
okay, well, if you consider some of their headlines over the past 20 or 30 years,
I thought
maybe
that
it's
was
a little payback.
Well, I wanted to say, well, they God isn't the only one, but you know, no, I just,
oh my goodness,
I know, I felt bad, I really did, but I had to laugh. I had to laugh because that,
I mean, you know, my wife still has relatives who, you know, last week were without power for close to a week out in Long Island, you know, the East Coast took a pounding, and it just, you know, I remember we had a snowstorm last year here.
Halloween.
While the were still in the trees.
Yeah.
And as you well know, that did an amazing amount of damage in Connecticut.
Sure did.
And so on. I'm beginning to think, I've been lucky with these two storms, not to make light of it and so on, but I'm beginning to think it's my big mouth that keeps the electricity going in this house.
Wow. I like that, though. That's pretty good.
Well,
you might actually get hired out for a little generator help if you know need be.
Well, listen, I have such volume, and when you grow up with, you know, 8 younger brothers and sisters and 10 other people in a house.
Wow.
Many people do not realize that we've been, what, doing this show for 12 years?
Yes.
And I've never had to use the phone.
I didn't realize your family was that big.
Oh, yeah. I was the oldest of 9 children.
Good grief. How old is the youngest?
I'm 53 years old.
Yeah, you're my age. I knew that, right.
Just turned 39 in March, not just, but he was 39 in March.
Okay.
So, you know, my parents, you know, 9 children in 14 years.
That's hustling. God bless your mom.
Well, exactly that, too. When my mom passed about 14 years ago, I told people, and hey, listen, I told people from the get-go, my mom's back where she belongs. She just subletted on Earth for 60 years.
Oh, my. Oh, goodness.
My mom was an angel.
Yes.
And I mean that in every sense of the word. Anybody who ever met her knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I would have to concur. Goodness gracious. All right, let's take a look starting tonight with the Colts or the Jaguars. It doesn't sound really good right off the top just when you let Colts and Jaguars roll off the tongue, and I guess that's probably because Jacksonville's 1-7. But I guess there's got to be some intrigue to it, because how legitimate are the Colts at 5-3, and this is a team the Patriots get to face next week?
Well, you just mentioned that the Jaguars are 1-7.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the one win was against?
Could it be?
Yeah, and where was that win?
I believe it was on the road.
Yes, at Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to give credit where credit's due. We talk about all the time that football is a game of matchups. And the Jaguars, now listen, I know Peyton Manning wasn't there last year, but even when Peyton Manning was there, the Jacksonville Jaguars used to give the Indianapolis Colts fits. And we know a big reason why. Unfortunately, that big reason why for the Jacksonville Jaguars is not around right now.
Sure.
Maurice Jones-Drew absolutely ate up Indianapolis's defense. He did in the earlier meeting this year. And the Jaguars wound up winning on a quick 80-yard pass to Cecil Shorts at Indianapolis in the closing minutes. So, again, a game of match. I want to say, and I sent this out a little earlier, if you go back to last year, I want to say the Jaguars have won 4 games since the mid part of last year, like 4 of their last 17 games, something like that.
Oof.
Three of the four are against Indianapolis.
Wow. Well, then they got to be feeling a little confident about tonight.
Well, listen,
about as confident as a 1-7 team can be.
It's a national TV game.
Yeah.
And you know how things are sometimes. What have you heard a lot this week? This is Andrew Luck's coming out party on national TV.
Sure.
Well, guess what? The Jaguars, I don't get the feeling the Jaguars are throwing a parade.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not saying Jacksonville will necessarily win. They're really hamstrung in terms of offense. You know, I want to say two-thirds of their games going back to last year, John, they scored 17 points or less. Okay, so, mm-hmm. I mean, they don't put a lot on the board, and their defense has been a big disappointment this year. Last year it was one of the top units in the league. You're not seeing it this year, and it's been a problem for them. It's been a rough year for Mike Mularkey. But we'll see. I mean, this is an Indianapolis defense. And listen, Andrew Luck's the yeoman's work. So is Reggie Wayne. So is that team in general. They're a great story right now. But their defense remains substandard. And if it's not Maurice Jones-Drew, maybe it's Rashad Jennings tonight who's able to run on that defense. And listen, you know, the last time the Colts lost the game, the Jets ran roughshod on him for 252 yards. That, mm-hmm. You know, you shift to the 3-4 defense to become a better run defense. The Colts were never a great run defense to begin with, and I don't even know if they necessarily have the right personnel to even be in that 3-4. Now, we're talking about players like Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney, but as you well know, when you go to a 3-4, sometimes making pure defensive ends outside linebackers doesn't necessarily work all the time.
Yes, well, that is true. Within the division, we'll get to the Bills and Patriots obviously later. Jets playing on the road at Seattle. I think the Patriots understand how difficult Seattle can be, number one. But I laughed about it early in the show today where Antonio Cromartie said he basically guaranteed the Jets were going to make the playoffs. And, of course, I don't know that anybody told Cromartie that his team was 3-5. But I think it does, you know, sort of bring up a question here. The Jets find themselves now with a back-against-the-wall type of situation, especially if the Patriots win this weekend. They'd be three games back.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing game because we know what can happen up in Seattle, and it's happened to everybody who's played up there. And even when you've played, you know, particularly well at times, you know, they just find – listen, Adrian Peterson ran wild against Seattle last week, and yet Seattle gets three touchdown passes from Russell Wilson – Marshawn Lynch has a big day. I mean, I want to say they're 4-0 at home this year.
They are, yes.
And, you know, they've beaten the Packers, and I know how the game ended, so don't worry. I'm sorry I can't change history, but it does go down as a win.
Yep.
But they pushed around the Cowboys. You know, that's been a definitive home field advantage for them. There's no question about it. And, it's very, very interesting, to see the Jets. You know, off the bye week, off two straight losses, I'm going to be curious every time Leon Washington gets his hands on the ball. It's something I'm keeping an eye on because the Jets special teams, as you know, over the last two games they played, let's see, Devin McCourty had a touchdown return
mm-hmm.
on a kickoff. They've had a punt blocked for a touchdown. They've had a field goal blocked. You know, they got caught napping on an onside kick. And we know what Leon Washington to do. He's a guy who's capable of taking ball back anyway on a punt or a kickoff return. So,
right.
You know, and a former Jet. So, I find that as my key matchup in this game this week.
The other divisional matchup has the Dolphins at home against the Tennessee Titans. Miami is 4-4. They probably should be at least 5-3, which obviously would be a huge surprise, but I think they kind of blew one last week that they certainly looked like they had an opportunity to win it. Unusual that the Patriots are going to have played Buffalo twice before they even get a chance to play Miami once. One of the little quirky things about the schedule. But Miami puts themselves right back in the forefront of things here and stays right on New England's heels if they win at home.
Yeah, and they should get ample opportunity against a Tennessee. Now, listen, I know it wasn't all the defense last week, but the Titans have given up at least 30 points in 7 of the 9 games they played this year.
That's
want to say their season total already in 9 games is 308 points.
Wow.
I think they only gave up 317 all last year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 308 points. Now, listen, again, the interception return, blocked punt last week, 51 points. But they just find a way. I mean, even when they beat the Lions this year, They won 44-41 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Bills 35-34. I'm a little mystified at what's happened to Tennessee's defense. You know, Jerry Gray seemed like he was the right man for the right job. And I know they've lost a couple of people. They brought in Cameron Wimbley to help the pass rush. But the defense is almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Miami, listen, when you can run the football and go against a defense like that, I think it's the best way to say it, even a limited offensive team, and Miami is spotty on offense. I wouldn't say they're good. I wouldn't say they're great, but I wouldn't say they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very much like when they played Oakland earlier this year and rolled the Raiders, I wouldn't be shocked to see Miami put up at least 30 points and get themselves a game back above 500.
And stay perhaps, at least potentially, within a game of the Patriots in the division.
Exactly. And, like, again, you know, it'll be fun. You know what's it's shaping up? It's kind of around the league is we're seeing our share of matchups. Like you just mentioned, Buffalo's going to play New England again before Miami has even played them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple instances of that this year where teams have already gotten done and yet have not played. Like Atlanta, for instance. They haven't played the Saints yet, but they also haven't played Tampa Bay yet. And I'm going to be really intrigued with Tampa Bay and Doug Martin, the way they're running the football,
right,
to see them against that Falcons defense that's suspect against the run. I don't know how the NFL does it, but somehow, even those surprise teams wind up playing for the division title sometime late in December.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, let's go to the dandy one on the schedule, the Sunday night game, which obviously some might say a Super Bowl preview. I hate using that because it's just so much different that can be done before, you know, the season's over, and we are at the halfway point. So I guess we should give some credit to both Houston and Chicago being 7-1. But I wonder, in reality, is there anybody outside of Houston or Chicago that thinks that this could be a Super Bowl preview?
No, but it's AFC versus NFC. They both have identical records, so of course we tried. You know, last week I heard Giants-Steelers might be a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yes, we did.
And guess what?
Yeah.
And down the road, and sometime in mid-December, you can already put the headline up. 49ers-Patriots.
Yep, that'll happen.
Super Bowl preview.
Sure will. Yeah, it will.
Listen, I know there have been 46 Super Bowls. They don't all have to happen in 1 year.
That's true.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it's intriguing. You've got the team who's committed the fewest turnovers in Houston, and you got the team that's got the most takeaways in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this. The Texans have turned over the ball 6 times. The Bears have run back 7 interceptions for touchdowns. I mean, that's just crazy. 7 interceptions, by the way, John, in 8 games. The NFL record is 9 by a team, by the 1961 Chargers. In a 14-game season. So the Bears really have a legitimate – listen, they could stop doing it right now, but you know how it is, the turnovers.
Yeah.
Could end very, very quickly. But, you know, the one game that the Bears lost this year was the game in Green Bay where the Packers and Dom Capers put their mind to making sure that Brandon Marshall was null and void. And that does a lot of different things to the Bears' offense. The one game that the Texans lost this year – which is when Aaron Rodgers threw 6 touchdown passes. By the way, the Texans have only given up 7 touchdown passes in their other 7 games.
Wow.
So, you know, teams are very even. They're both very intriguing. They got playmakers. And I'll throw this out here, too, because I've heard this bantered about a little. J.J. Watt for the Texans.
Yes.
Charles Tillman,
yep,
for the Bears.
Right.
So two guys who are having outstanding years. In terms of, you know, possible defensive player of the year candidate. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Tillman, though, is obviously the point of at least, you know, some discussion this week over the fact that he may not be there,
yes,
Sunday because of the birth of a child.
Yes, yes. That is something definitely to keep in mind. Although, you know, the Bears running back these interceptions, everybody's taken a turn, be it Major Wright, be it Tim Jennings, be it Lance Briggs, who has 2 interception returns for touchdowns.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Urlacher. In fact, Tillman and Briggs had interception returns and touchdowns twice in the same game this year. So it's just, I mean, it's been astounding what the Bears have done. By the way, it's always thrown out here anytime the Bears play good defense. comparisons to the 85 Bears.
Yes, we know. You don't have to tell us who they played and who they beat.
No, I'm not even worried about that.
Okay.
My feeling is that the only comparison that this unit has to the 85 Bears would be if they had 85 takeaways, which they certainly could do the way they're going.
The way they're going. That's an extraordinary streak, by the way, that they've got. I mean, their ability to create the turnovers and then make points out of it. That's extraordinary. And sometimes it's nothing more than just getting a little mojo, I think, going on your side and getting a penchant for doing that. Then you go looking for it. Then you go expecting to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but when it becomes part of your game plan, that's not always – because you can't count on takeaways and so on. I mean, Charles Tillman had four forced fumbles last week. I mean, that's an astounding number for a season for most people, much less he's got seven already this year. I mean, it's fascinating to watch them go. And listen, give credit where credit's due. It's something, obviously, that Lovie Smith teaches, and it was something he learned from Tony Dungy.
True.
Because you certainly remember when Tony Dungy's defenses were in Tampa and also Minnesota and to a degree in Pittsburgh a long time ago. They were always offensive. And I think that's because a lot of people don't realize that while Tony was a pro defensive back and a pro defensive coordinator, he was a college quarterback at Minnesota. So he really knew both sides of the football.
Now, that's an interesting point. The one and lone unbeaten Atlanta on the road at Nolens. We kind of feel like, you know, and certainly I know there's been a lot of talk nationally about how what kind of a chance Atlanta would have to, you know, run the table, go 16-0, and whether or not they would be considered a legitimate team or a legitimate threat, let's say, to win a Super Bowl only if they can win a playoff game first. I get all of that. But to me, going on the road and winning like this against a Saints team that's still kind of trying to find itself but knows that they've got to start winning now, otherwise they're going to miss out on the postseason, and they're 3-5 going in. You know, call me crazy, but I'm leaning a little bit toward New Orleans in this one just because perhaps New Orleans needs it a little bit more.
I wouldn't call you crazy at all. In fact, I'd call you very logical because, trust me, there's one fact that the Atlanta Falcons are very cognizant of, and you can tell how cognizant of it, and I know you'll remember the game last year.
Yep.
When Mike Smith in overtime went for it on fourth down because he did not want to give Drew Brees the ball back. There's a reason. The Saints have beaten the Falcons 10 of the last 12 times they played them, and that's all Drew Brees, by the way. I'm not saying he's the only reason they've won.
I believe that, yep.
But that's going back to when Drew Brees became a New Orleans Saint.
Mm-hmm.
He has faced them 12 times. He has thrown for 300 or more yards in 8 of the 12 games.
Wow.
And in the 12 games, the Falcons defense has managed to sack him only 10 times.
Really? Wow.
So it's a matchup. Again, we talk about matchups. This has not been a kind matchup to the Atlanta Falcons. That's another streak. You go back and you look at the games the Falcons have lost, you know, going back for the last year and a half. And like two of their three losses, I want to say, are to the New Orleans Saints. Or I should say four losses over a certain span. It's the Saints. It's why we laughed last year with the Redskins beating the Giants twice. But sometimes it just comes down to matchups, which is very important. And I don't blame it all on. And I know Falcons fans who are getting very, very defensive, and I know because I read a lot of what is written. Oh, you know, this is the week. Every week you're going to pick not me necessarily, but every week somebody's going to pick the Falcons to just run out of luck.
Right.
And this isn't a matter of luck. This is a matter of, for whatever reason, and obviously it's before Mike Smith as well, Drew Brees has lit this team up. Now, I will also say this. When your defense has given up at least 420 total yards in every game they've played this year, you're certainly vulnerable to having to lose. And I thought what you said about the Saints in the playoffs was very intriguing because as you look at the standing and you see how a lot of teams are doing, we have a logjam of a bunch of 4-4 and 3-5.
And it's anybody's game there, just like it's anybody's game potential in the AFC for that last spot.
I agree. And I think one of those 4-4s and 3-5s is going to grab one of those playoff spots. It's just a matter of who gets hot. Now, obviously, we have Dallas and Philly this week. They're both 3-5. Okay? The Rams are 3-5, but there's a bunch of 4-4s as well. So, listen, rules dictate that six teams have to come out of the conference.
Right.
One of those teams is going to be maybe an 8-8 or a 9-7 and catches fire later. And listen, being 9-7 is not the worst thing in the world when it comes to winning a Super Bowl, we found out.
Yeah, we kind of knew that last year. There's no question. Two games that I just want to touch on briefly, and only because the two teams that are sort of in position here, I think, to win, both the home team, are going to be teams that Patriots may have to jockey with for home field as we turn the corner on the halfway point of the season. That would be the Ravens, who are at home against the Raiders. That would be the Steelers on Monday night, who are home against the Kansas City Chiefs, who, by the way, their head coach demoted himself, fired himself as defensive coordinator this week, Romeo Crennel.
That's interesting to hear. And because, of course, he's playing against the former head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs this week.
Yes.
As Todd Haley comes in as offensive coordinator. Remember, Haley was fired with three games to go.
Sure.
The Chiefs have got to be one of the three or four most disappointing teams in the league this year. You know, we talk about the Bears' takeaway total, John. 29 turnovers in 8 games.
That's extraordinary.
We bring it up every week, and the number doesn't get added by one, because they've had at least multiple turnovers in every game they played this year. I mean, they had 4 more last week when they played San Diego, mm-hmm. and 2 of them returned for touchdowns. And now they're going into a Pittsburgh team that I think is starting to feel its oats a little.
Yeah.
And they've run the ball very successfully, even with backups. 200-yard games with Jonathan Dwyer, 100-yard last week by Isaac Redman. They held the Giants. Giants, pretty good offensive team. Held the Giants to 182 yards of total offense last week. That Steelers offensive line is kind of coming together. And dare I say it, Pittsburgh's defense, especially in the back end, maybe learning, and I know it's not something they want to do, but I think they're learning to adjust to life without Troy Polamalu, at least for now.
Yeah, right.
And let's see what happens when and if he comes back this season. So, I mean, that's a tall order for the Chiefs to go in there and end their losing streak against a team, again, that's feeling its oats. Baltimore, you know, their run defense, they gave up over 100 yards rushing to Trent Richardson last week, but they still held the Browns without a touchdown. Cleveland wound up kicking 5 field goals. And again, a number is a number, but it's kind of fun to see Carson Palmer, who comes back as an Oakland Raider.
Yeah.
And for people who don't realize it, 9-4 lifetime versus the Ravens. He always had success against Baltimore's defense. In this instance, they probably have better success if Darren McFadden could run on the Baltimore defense, which you can never rule out the way Baltimore's playing defense. Unfortunately, Oakland doesn't play much defense at all. Just ask Doug Martin, who had one heck of a game last week, 251 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, everybody talks about Doug Martin kind of reminding people of Ray Rice because of Greg Schiano.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess who the Raiders get to play this week? Ray Rice.
Interesting how it always seems to come back around, doesn't it?
Listen, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't make this stuff up. Yeah. And I know you don't. because it's just too wacko for it to be made up. It's too wacko.
The whole league they should rename the league the whole league, the National Kevin Bacon League. It's all 6 degrees of separation.
I like that. All right, Bills and Pats then here Sunday at 1:00. Patriots won 52-28 back at the end of September in Buffalo, and I don't know that a lot has changed for the Bills. The Patriots seem like they're trying to pick up a little momentum. Of course, we thought that back at the end of September as well, and we know what happened in Seattle. You know, so the question I have here is the Bills seem to be really banged up on the defensive side of the ball, which means the Patriots could possibly mail in a number and be ready to go. The Patriots, we think, are healthier on defense following the bye week. But we don't know really how into this the Bills are going to be, because if they lose, and I mentioned this earlier in the program today, if they lose, they're 3-6. They're 3 back of the Patriots. They've lost twice to New England. And I know that there's a lot of mediocre teams. Someone's going to sneak in at that 6th spot. And so it's hard to say the Bills are eliminated. But if they win, man, they're right in the thick of things in the East Division.
No doubt about it. But we need to petition someone to move this game. And I don't know what your sponsor situation is right now, but, I mean, either Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun. Is there any possibility we could do that? Do you know where I'm going with this, by the way?
I think I'm beginning to understand, yes.
The first team to 21
win loses. First team to 21 loses. Yeah, exactly. So right. You get blackjack, you're out. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Let's go back to last year in Orchard Park. The Patriots were up 21-0, lost 34-31.
Correct.
Last year in the season finale at Foxborough.
Buffalo.
Up 21-0, and all they did was give up 49 straight points.
Correct.
And lost 49-21.
Correct.
This year, 6 weeks ago, 21-7 in the third quarter.
Correct.
Celtics go on a 45-7 run, 52-28. That's insane. That's insane. You know what else also is insane is Ryan Fitzpatrick every time he plays the Patriots. The last five meetings, 10 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. He's thrown at least two interceptions in all five of those games. I mean, this is a numbers fest. 11 straight losses at Foxborough for the Bills. 2-22 for the Bills in their last 24 meetings with New England. And a Bills team that is giving up, unbelievable. They've given up 201 points in the five games they lost this year.
Ooh.
So, I mean, they just don't evoke much confidence in this matchup as far as I'm concerned. No touchdown last week when they lost to Houston. Patriots with 2 weeks to, I don't want to say recover, they scored 45 points when they went to London.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know the Bills have had lofty goals this year and could come out here tough because New England's pass defense can be spotty at times. That's my word of the week, is spotty.
Okay.
But I just don't. John, the last two times these teams played, the New England Patriots have scored 101 points, 49 and 52.
Is there any reason to think that won't continue?
No, they might score 101 points Sunday.
Wow.
That would be a record.
That'd be a little much.
But, I mean, in all seriousness, the last five times these teams have played, even in the loss at Buffalo last year, 31 or more points, five straight games for the New England Patriots in this series.
Okay. So I think if we're going trending, if you go on the high side of 31, you're taking the over on that one, right?
I figure this is going to be 10-7 Buffalo in overtime.
That's the way the NFL bounces sometimes, right? Or the National Kevin Bacon League.
You think we have any traction with that, you think?
We might. We might have to think about that. We'll have to talk to Kevin about that.
There you go.
All right. Russell, thank you, sir, as always. Good to talk to you.
You too.
I hope that you're able to avoid any extra snowflakes in Connecticut where you are.
I hope so, too. It's a little melting trend right now. I've had to go out and shovel and see if anybody came to my house in the last 24 hours. They might be underneath the snow for all I know.
Wow. And good luck on your math quiz.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to write the answers on my arm.
As we all used to do.
As we all used to do.
Thanks, Russell. Talk to you next week.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. See you. All right, Russell Baxter, pro football guru. Let's get a break here. Then we've got Tim Graham from the Buffalo News coming up, and then going to get to some of your posts and some of your emails on our question of the day having to do with taking a daddy leave for an expectant mother and being an NFL player at the same time. That's coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL 400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good. They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now back to your host, John Rook.
Back in the playbook here as we have 15 more minutes to go on the program. Then, of course, Patriots, Buffalo Bills here at Gillette Stadium on Sunday on the 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff as we are efforting tracking down Tim Graham at the current time. Let me get to a couple of the comments that you guys have already had on the question of the day, in addition to your score predictions, of course, for Sunday. But we've been talking about whether or not you feel like a player, you know, should make either the commitment to be with family upon the birth of a child, be with your wife, or is there really, because of the money, because of the everything that's at stake here, is there, you know, should there be more of an effort to be committed to your job from the football playing point of view? Tillman, of course, the Bears getting ready to do that this weekend. The Patriots may travel that road with Tom Brady over the
Everybody just do your job!
Yeah, well, you got to do your job. Patriots may be traveling that road as well in another month or so. All right, we'll get to that in just a moment because we've got Tim Graham now, formerly from ESPN.com, now with the Buffalo News, joining us here in the playbook. Tim, John Rook here. Great to talk to you again. Thanks for the time.
No, thanks for having me on, John. Anytime.
Let's start with that question. And the reason I do that is because, you know, clearly we're going to see this play out in the NFL this weekend. We talked about it earlier this week, and, you know, the question came up again today where Brady and the Patriots may have to face a similar situation because his wife is expecting. I can only imagine that most players are going to say, well, family's got to be first. But when you consider what's at stake, monetarily and otherwise, should there not be more consideration given to, you know, showing up and performing on the job as a player is supposed to do?
I don't think so. I think family comes first under any circumstance in life. And I would like to point out, you know, you have Greg Olson going through a situation with his wife and his child. What if there's a complication during the pregnant or during the childbirth? What if your wife gets sick? What if the baby is born with a complication? You'll never be able to you'll never be able to live that down. And it's just it's one of the two of the greatest days of my life, regardless of it. And obviously, I've never played for a Super Bowl or anything like that. But you know, those are things you need to be there for. And what if, I mean, you can take it with a birth. What about a death?
Yeah.
What if somebody's mother dies?
Yeah.
And the day of a game, or, you know, we've seen players go out and play because that's what you'd want. A lot of times there's travel involved and things like that too, but I just can't, I can't buy the notion that anything is more important than family.
Well, you know what? Nobody, I think, Tim, is going to argue that point. And the only reason I bring it up is, and you made a great comparison there with the whole thing about a death in the family, and it seems that it's almost unanimous that, well, the person who passes away would want you to continue on with, you know, what you do, and we've seen a lot of that. And so I ask, well, why isn't that said the same way upon the birth of a child? Now, you make a very good point. You make a very good point. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here, by the way. If it were up to me, I think I'd probably have to go be there for the birth of my child. But I asked the question because when we're talking about the amount of money and the business that the sport has become, to me, it's incumbent upon the parties involved here to be a little smarter in thinking this thing through. And I realize, again, it's not a perfect world. You never really know when you're going to get pregnant. But if you can plan it, isn't it the prudent thing to do to plan this thing? Maybe, like, say, oh, I don't know, the off season?
Well, it's funny you mention that because I used to cover the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And the Buffalo Sabres were the team I covered for 7 years.
Right.
And it was funny, and I did a cute story about it. During the NHL lockout, when all the players knew that they were going to be locked out back in 2004, 2005, they all had babies. I shouldn't say all, but it was a funny number of players decided that was time that we're going to have kids. And during the lockout, and then also coming out of the lockout, if you went 9 months back, you would find out that a lot of them were while they were normally playing, they were having babies. So, yeah, I think players do think about that, and they probably should. But, you know, there's an Antonio Cromartie joke in here somewhere, I'm sure. sometimes things happen.
Yeah, they do. All right. Well, again, food for thought. I thought it was an interesting sort of Zen question about what you should do. And I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer. I think I know how most people would side. But I think it's interesting to bring up the other issue into the conversation. All right. So let's move now to these Buffalo Bills. And this is one question I asked earlier. I'm going to ask you as well. Has this Buffalo team changed for the better in any way that you can see since these two teams played last at the end of September?
No, not since they played last. I can't really, you know, the defense, I guess, you said in any way.
Yeah,
so I
guess
it's a little flippant of me just to wave it off. But the defense has gotten better based on what we saw against the Houston Texans on Sunday. They played a pretty good Texans offense tightly for the most part. But the thing is that when you look at the score and see 21 points, and that the Bills were in the red zone four times, it was three times. They were 0 for 3, and then plus they missed a field goal from outside the red zone. And you think, you know, that's a perfect game, though. Then they still need to, score on all of those possessions to still do better than the Texans did. And if you were to watch the game, and I know some of your listeners out there are diehard Patriots fans enough that they do like to scout the upcoming opponent,
sure,
probably saw that the Texans never were – never lost control of that game, with the exception of about the last 2 minutes of the first half. They got a field goal blocked. The Bills went 47 yards in 47 seconds and kicked the field goal, seemed to have some kind of momentum going into halftime, mm-hmm, that they quickly lost by throwing three straight incompletions on the first three plays of the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the Texans just were in command, and they the game never seemed to be in doubt. So the Bills maybe didn't get steamrolled like they have in other games. But that's, you know, that's a sad commentary when you're looking at your team, you're looking for some improvement, and you say, boy, we did better against the Texans, but Matt Schaub still had a passer rating of about infinity, and Arian Foster rushed for 111 yards, and Andre Johnson did pretty much whatever he wanted to do against three different cornerbacks who were matched up against him.
Right.
And but that was improvement. So, yeah, I guess they improved, but they still haven't been too swift.
No, they haven't. I know that, you know, this has got to be sort of a conundrum in Buffalo, but at the same time, I think it's certainly from a strategical point of view, maybe a little, you know, a little strategy for the Bills going in this weekend, there's got to be some temptation to take some deep shots against the Patriots secondary that still isn't going to have Aqib Talib. Everybody seems to think he's going to be the panacea around here, and I'm not so sure that's the case. But at the same time, the Buffalo needs to know, Buffalo, I guess, probably does know, that for them to have a shot here, C.J. Spiller has got to touch the ball more than he touched last week. So how is Buffalo, you know, sort of rectifying that particular problem this week, do you think?
Well, that's a funny question, because that's a story. My NFL Sunday cover story for the Buffalo News is going to be on the long ball and dissecting why it's so important for a team. You just assume, yeah, you got to have a long ball. But any team, even you go back to the 70s when Paul Warfield was doing it for the undefeated Miami Dolphins, mm-hmm. and Larry Zonka and Jim Kick and Mercury Morris and those grind-em-out teams, or the Steelers of the 70s, or back when passing wasn't even that big of a deal, you always had that deep threat, and the Bills don't have that. And even in the West Coast offense, whatever offense you can name, the deep threat is always incredibly valuable to have. And if you don't have it, the defenses don't need to worry about it, and they can take away the other things that you do well. And I think that's what we saw the Texans do against the Bills on Sunday. You have C.J. Spiller with over 7 yards a carry. You know, we're talking about Jim Brown numbers here, and Fred Jackson, maybe one of the more underrated running backs in the NFL, and each of them had only 6 carries because the Houston Texans went out there in their base 3-4 defense, and regardless of what the Bills did, whether it was shotgun, empty backfield, three wides, they refused to go into nickel. They stayed in their base 3-4 and dared Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw the ball. Well, the Bills see this, and of course they're induced into throwing.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick, all he can do is throw 5, 6, 7 yards downfield. They never go deep. And so Ryan Fitzpatrick had not a perfect game throwing the ball, but he had few, and I think he completed 70% of his passes and had no interceptions.
Mm.
And they still lost by 12 points
hmm.
because everything was contained. And the Texans took away the run. They took away any kind of home run threat, and they just kept everything in front of them. So maybe that's the blueprint to beat the Bills, is to allow Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw and make him beat you, because he's not going to stretch you.
Not going to stretch you. Sounds kind of like the Patriots in a way, doesn't it?
Well, the Patriots will stretch you. You know,
just not going to go over the top to stretch you.
Yeah, they'll do it with their tight ends, and you know they'll find a way to do it. You know, there's always that threat. You know, Tom Brady at least can throw it that far. I saw a stat that Ryan Fitzpatrick ranks 33rd among all quarterbacks. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
No, there's only 32 teams, but he ranks 33rd in the NFL in average completion in terms of yards the ball travels in the air.
Wow.
So the Bills throw a lot of screen passes. That's how Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller get their yardage in the passing game. They go do a lot of screens. They throw a lot of crossing routes. They never stretch the field or throw down the sidelines hardly at all. You can remember, I don't know, maybe the game was out of hand, but Stevie Johnson was wide open and should have had a touchdown late in the game the first time the Patriots and the Bills met, and the ball was wildly underthrown. And Stevie Johnson ends up, you know, spiking the ball on the sidelines. He was so upset. They ended up scoring a touchdown with Brad Smith a few plays later. But Stevie Johnson was wide open and down the left sideline, and Ryan Fitzpatrick just couldn't find him. So that's one of his major flaws, and one of the reasons that they brought in a new quarterbacks coach this year to work on mechanics, and so he can drive the ball down the field and find some drive with his lower body and things like that, and it just hasn't helped.
Good stuff. Tim, thanks for a little insight on the Bills. It's greatly appreciated. Are you coming this way this weekend?
Yeah, we'll be getting in on Saturday afternoon.
Excellent. Safe travels. It's kind of been nasty around here, but then again, you're used to it being rough in the Buff, right?
I've been told mid-60s this weekend. I'm going to hold you to it.
Listen, if we get that, believe me, I'm going to hold the weather gods to that as well.
All righty. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tim. You too. Tim Graham, again, Buffalo News, checking in with us here in the Playbook. All right, let me get to some of these thoughts here real quick before we say goodbye and get to our football guys here. Hang on. Facebook. Question, of course, had to do with, you know, the issue of daddy being at the birth of the baby and being a football player at the same time. Mary Beth says, oh, my God, what a position to be in. If I was his wife, better planning would have been good. Inducing on a Monday would work. These days, you kind of plan when your child is born. And that really is the point of my whole, you know, argument here. For, you know, I mean, it's not really an argument, but it's still an argument because you got to plan these things out better when you know that you've got this kind of fiscal responsibility hanging on your shoulders. Daryl says, John, family first, period. I understand the nature of the NFL, but as a service member who's missed significant family events, I know that nothing in this world is more important than family. Also, if the game in question was against the Jags rather than the Texans, would that change the equation? Also, imagine that there are complications with the birth, as, of course, Tim just mentioned. Where would you rather be? And he says, as for my prediction, Pat's 42, Bill's 27. Michael goes, here we go, with the prediction. Pat's 35, Bill's 24. Game will be tight for a while, but the Patriots will adjust and then make plays on both sides of the ball in the second half. On Game Show Thursday, you had a question about Giselle whispering in Tom's ear. How apropos that this is a topic today. She's now saying we need to plan better. Attaboy, Michael. Oh, we got a listener here paying attention. That's good stuff. Tyler says, why don't they send the Patriots today to the delivery room and broadcast the birth over the big screen of the stadium? I guess you need a plan B if it's an away game. And he says, has B-Lo ever covered a birth? That's another good one. We got to send that idea to him, don't we? Yeah. I think, Tyler, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, bro.
And I f***ed that up.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Ray says, 31-14, Pat's on top the whole game. And as far as Tom missing a game, Giselle has always come across to me as a strong and independent woman. She's always been supportive of Tom. I believe she wouldn't hold this against Tom if he decided to attend the game. That being said, no man in his right mind could be able to focus on something else, knowing that his wife is in childbirth, especially she's over 1,000 miles away. I'd question whether Tom's focus would be to the level it needs to be against the likes of Houston. It's a good point. I believe in Ryan Mallett for the future of this team after Brady, and believe if he starts preparing for that game now, he could likely hold it together and pull out a tight win against Houston. I think you might be the only one, Ray. Brian, John, you're only looking at one half of the career scheduling with Giselle and Tom. At the end of the day, it's Giselle who has the major burden here, and for her career, it makes a lot more sense to have a baby during the winter months. Then she can be back to glamorous come next spring. I'm sure there are major corporations and events who rely on Giselle just as strongly as the Patriots rely on Tom. That's an interesting point, Brian. I want to call him a sissy man, but I don't think I'm going to do that. No, that's a good point, Tom. It actually is very good. Just having some fun. Let me get a couple of more in here before we finish up. Frank in upstate New York. If it's her first baby, so there's a good chance she'll be late and or she might have to be inducted. If induction is needed, it's not her first, it's her second. And I were Tom, I would definitely push for a Tuesday or a Wednesday, do whatever I could to persuade her into it. If that didn't work, Skype from the sideline. Kind of the way it goes nowadays, doesn't it? Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. Pat's 38, Bill's 13. As for the Brady decision, it's a very difficult decision. My knee-jerk reaction, family first, needs to be with his wife and the new baby. However, as I listen to you play devil's advocate, I realize it's not an easy decision. I don't envy TB having to make it. Perhaps a good analogy is a soldier who goes off to war. His baby's born when he's not even in the same country. He's paid a heck of a lot less than Tom, and yet still does his duty. I think if a soldier can do his duty and put his life on the line for the meager pay he receives, then Tom can show up, play the game, risk missing the birth of his child. Good analogy. That's an excellent analogy, Howard. Josh from Seville says, I believe Tom came out and said that he and Giselle have an appointment to go birth the child so that it wouldn't interfere with the game. Can't remember if it was in a press conference or a radio interview, but he said he would be there. Actually, he just didn't commit either way. He said that would be his intention, but he didn't commit either way, and that's why I brought up the subject today, because it's still been topic of conversation over the course of the airwaves here locally over the last couple of days. All right, that puts a wrap on the playbook for today. Football Nation, of course, is coming up next. We want you to stay tuned right here on Patriots.com radio. Our thanks to Tim Graham and also Mark Goggin from the Buffalo News, Eric Scalavino here, the one and only Russell S. Baxter in the playbook as well, as he always is on Thursdays. We're back here, same patch time, same patch channel, next Tuesday, Nitpick Tuesday. Hopefully there won't be a lot of to nitpick from a Patriots perspective. We'll recap it all as the Pats turn the corner squarely into the second half of 2012. Have a great weekend.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.